Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Hey, so we're wrapping up the series, Stewardship of Life, this week. And Pastor Dino has talked to us about what to do when we're struggling and the importance of being stable and then how to live a solid life in God. And I have the privilege. He gave me the good news. I get to talk about surplus. How many of you excited about surplus? Want to hear about surplus this morning? Come on, you ready to hear about that? We want to live in surplus. And here's the good news. Surplus is God's plan for our life. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, "The thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have what? Life, and have it abundantly." That you might not just have life, but you will have a surplus in life. That's the reason that Jesus came. So that's the good news. The question then is, well, how do I get this? How can I live this surplus life, this abundant life that God came to bring us? And the good news is Jesus told us. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 25. In the last two parables that Jesus told while he was on this earth, he told parables about a master and a king. Of course, you know, a parable is a fictitious story that tells a very real point. And so he talks about one a master and one a king that divides people up into two groups. One has surplus, one doesn't have surplus. And how many of you know we want to be in the right line in life? You ever been in the wrong line? You ever been in the wrong line on the interstate? There's traffic and you're trying to guess which one, and it's always the one that you're not in. Last night I was at the LSU baseball game with my son. I got in the wrong line at the concession stand. It took me forever to pay that $20 for the Coke and hot dog that I so graciously gave them. So we don't want, when it comes to God's surplus, we don't want to be in the wrong line. We don't want to be in the wrong group. So in Matthew 25, Jesus tells us how to get in the right group. And he starts off in Matthew 25. It starts in verse 14. He tells a story about a master, a man that had a lot of money. And he goes on a long trip. And so he calls three of his servants to him, and they are actually stewards. We're talking about stewardship. A steward manages something for someone else. And he calls them together, says, "Look, I'm giving each of you some money. When I get back, I want you to take that money and have made me more money." So he goes away, and then it says the master came back to settle accounts. How many of you know there'll be a time where we stand before the Father, and he will settle accounts for us? That's the most important meeting in any of our calendars. We want to be ready for that meeting. So he comes back to settle accounts, and he goes to the first two and says, "I gave you this much. What did you do?" He said, "Man, we took what you had, and we doubled it, and here it is back to you." And he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness." They're high-fiving. Everything is good. That is the surplus line, life abundant. And then he goes to the third one that's kind of trying to hide out over here in the shadows. And he says, "Well, what did you do?" He says, "Well, here's what you gave me. I hid it. I was scared." And Jesus says this. He calls him. He says, "You wicked, lazy servant." That's some of the harshest language that Jesus uses in any of his stories. He says, "You wicked, lazy servant." He says, "Not only am I going to not give you anything, I'm going to take what you have and give it to the guys that made me more." And he wraps up the story with this in verse 29. He says, "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have a what? An abundance, a surplus. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." So how do we live with God's surplus? It's the question we've been asking for a month. What are you doing with what you got? We want to take what God has given us, and we want to use it well. Because if we use it well, then God will give us more. God will give us a surplus. So now, if you're kind of following this chronological order, you're thinking, okay, I want to use it well. Can you tell me how to use it well? I want to make sure I don't make the wrong decision. Well, Jesus explains that in the next parable. And he talks about a king that meets with people, and he divides them once again into two groups. Some have surplus, some don't. And look at what he says in Matthew 25, and it starts off. Okay, make sure. Oh, where am I at? Somebody took my paper clips. God can't move without the paper clips in the right position. I'm kidding. Here they are. I messed them up. All right. Matthew 25, verse 34 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right," this is the surplus line, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." He says, come get your surplus. Now here's why you get surplus. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" I think this is the key verse in the Bible on experiencing God's surplus. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." You know what God would say how to get surplus? When you share with the least, God shares with us. That's how we use well what we're given. When we share what we have with the least, then God shares what he has with us. And I'm going to tell you what, I'd much rather live on what he has than what I have. So I want to illustrate this hopefully today. I'm from Central, so I understand better with like 5-gallon buckets and funnels. All right? Because here's the thing. This is the best example I could think of a steward. A steward understands they're not a cup. It's not about them getting filled up. A steward is a funnel that just takes what God gives them and funnels it in the right direction. And so here's what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine this bucket, this container, represents God's plan for the world, which always is all about what? It's always about the least. And so this bucket represents people who don't know Jesus, that the gospel is going to get to them. This bucket represents marriages that are broken that God wants to put together. It represents people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol or something else, and God wants to set them free. It represents orphans in Africa that don't have enough food, but God wants them to go to bed tonight with a stomach that's full. It represents everything that God wants to do for the least. And of course, this represents us. I'm going to try it this way, all right? And so what this story tells us is that God will pour into our life as long as we are pouring it into what's important to him. I love what Mike Heyman says. God will get it to you if he will get it through you. Does that make sense? I owe him $10 for that one. I'm just kidding. And so look, God will pour into our life. I believe so much so that it just begins to pour out over the side. God wants us to live a life of abundance. But here's the thing. That's taking longer than I thought to go out. What if I get so excited about God's blessings and I'm all excited about the surplus and not the God of the surplus, and I forget about the least and I start to move away from God's plan in my life? I still a funnel. God still wants to pour into my life, and he starts to pour, but where's it going? It's just making a mess. And what's God going to do? What you want me to do right now? Stop pouring into the funnel. Because here's what happens. When we move away from God's plan for our life or God's plan for the world, we stop sharing with the least. God's blessing only make a mess in our life and in everyone else. And we never want that. It always leads to emptiness. Surplus in itself is not really even good for us. And there's a great story in the Bible that illustrates this. In Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. There is a man that comes to Jesus, and the Bible calls him a rich young ruler. Now, how many of you would like to be that? You don't get, most usually those three don't come together at the same time. This guy had wealth, health, and influence. He had surplus in his life. And so he comes to Jesus because he realized even though he has everything, there's something that he needs that only God can give. And so in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, says, "A certain ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. And honor your father and mother. And up to this point, this guy feels good. He says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Now, I think that's interesting because you know what? I don't think this man had heard that very often in his life. I think he always had what he needed to get what he wanted until he met Jesus Christ. And he says, I've got all this stuff, but I still want eternal life. How do I get this? And Jesus said, you still lack one thing. Look what that one thing is. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. You know what Jesus said? He said, look, I want to share with you. I want to share with you the treasures of heaven, more than you could ever imagine. And all you got to do is one thing. Share everything you have with the least, and I'll share everything I have with you. And look at what the man's response was. When he heard this, he became very sad. Now, isn't that interesting? You get a face-to-face meeting with Jesus. You ask him the most important question in your life. He gives you a very simple answer, and our response is sadness. Why would he be sad? Well, it tells us. Because he was very wealthy. Isn't it interesting how hard it is for us to give up our surplus, even when it means access to God's surplus? Because if you just have a little bit of surplus, I mean, you just got a little bit kind of put away over here, not even enough to do anything with, but it's all you got, that's hard to give up because it's all you got. But then if you're over here like this guy, the rich young ruler, and you got a ton, well, then all of a sudden, that's a big check to write. And it's amazing how if we were to stand face to face with Jesus, say, God, I want to live the abundant life. I want to live a life of surplus. How do I do that? How terrible would it be if he told us it was simple and said, I'm going to share the treasures of heaven with you. And we walked away sad because we wanted to hold on to what we had. And we forgot, we didn't live the principle that when we share with the least, that God shares what he has with us. See, surplus, when it follows our desires, I really think leads to emptiness. God wants us to share what we have with the least. Now, here's the thing. If you are like me, or maybe a better way to say this is, if I were sitting where you're sitting and listening to me preach, I would say, look, great sermon, but it's not for me because you don't understand. I ain't got no surplus, all right? If you were seeing my bank account, no surplus of money. You want to look at my calendar, there's definitely not a surplus of time. I don't have a surplus of energy. I'm hitting 5-hour energy, 2:30 every single day, just trying to make it to traffic on the way home. I don't feel like I got a surplus of talent or great ideas. I don't have a surplus. So great CD, maybe one day when I retire, I'll listen to it. Right now, can we show the video of Pastor Dino talking about struggling again? Because that's where I'm at. That's how I would be feeling. I'll be honest. As I'm preparing this message, even this week, I'm like, I don't even know if this applies to me. I ain't got no surplus. But here's the thing. We really do. You know, we think about the things that we worry about. And the fact, do you realize that 80% of the world lives on $10 a day or less? That's 4 billion people. And I know that there are financial struggles in this room today. But we're not struggling with that. I spent that twice yesterday in 30 minutes on food. It doesn't take long to spend $10 a day. 80% of the world lives on $10 a day. You know that 40% of the world doesn't own shoes. 40% of the people in the world don't own shoes. And here's the thing. It's not just that it's uncomfortable. It's that one of the greatest killers in the third world, even more than AIDS, it kind of mixes with malnutrition, comes from just parasites, many of which are picked up as people walk barefooted through squalor in the places that they're living. So 40% of the world doesn't own shoes. We had 15,000 pairs of shoes just laying around our house that we didn't know what to do with. We've got surplus in our life. The question is, what are we going to do with what we have? Because if we will share our surplus with the least, then God will share his surplus with us. And look, that doesn't mean you give $10, God gives you $100. God's surplus may not be finances. God's surplus may be a blessing in your children's life. God's surplus may be health that is beyond anything a doctor can explain. God's surplus may just be living with peace of mind, which some of the richest men in the world can't do. And so we're not talking about you just give to get. But we're saying when we share what God has given with us, then God shares the treasures of heaven, which the Bible says we can't even understand. So when we understand, you know what, I do have a surplus and I can share it. But the problem that I have a lot of times when I hear statistics like that, I feel like I used to when I was a kid. I don't know what dinner time was like for you, but here's how it went for me. I'd be sitting and I'm eating and dinner's over and I got some Brussels sprouts and some green beans over here on the side, and mom, I'm full, I can't eat anymore. And my mom said what probably your mom said, don't you know there are children in China that would love to have those Brussels sprouts? And if you're like me, what was your response? Well, then box it up and send it to them, because I don't want them. And you think, okay, well, what does that mean? If I finish my plate, does that help the kids in China? I mean, I'll pray for them. And you know, it's interesting. I read an article the other day. They said that one reason so many people are overweight in our country is because our moms in the 60s and 70s told us, you got to finish everything on your plate. And so I just want you to know this spare tire that I carry, it's all about the children. That's who it's for. It's the sacrifice that I make. I wish. I didn't get this way eating Brussels sprouts, I'll tell you that. And so, you know, you hear stats like, you know, 80% of the people, or yeah, 80% of the people in the world, 4 billion people live on less than $10 a day. Well, okay, thank you. What can we do about that? Well, sometimes there's not a whole lot. There is some. And we have campuses in Africa, and through Children's Corps and Mission of Mercy, we address that. But you know, there are the least here at home. You realize that the murder rate per capita in Baton Rouge is one of the highest in the nation. Our per capita murder rate is higher than New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Houston. In fact, it's higher than New York, Los Angeles, and Houston all put together. And of that, do you know what the most dangerous zip code where about 26% of those murders take place? In the 70805 zip code. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but here's what it means to me. Do you know what else is in the 70805 zip code, that little star right there? The Baton Rouge Dream Center. We are in the most dangerous zip code in Baton Rouge. And there was a front page article in The Advocate, and you said, you know what is really causing this? Lack of education, poverty, and the breakdown of the family. Now, here's what I know. I may not can help the 4 billion people that live on less than $10 a day, but I can tell you what the people in this room have the surplus and the resources to do. We can help the breakdown of the family, the lack of education, and poverty in the 70805 zip code. We can do that. Pastor Craig and Hope Butte and Terry Franks, they've come up with a plan to really start taking that zip code block by block. They've already started. Last week, we visited 60 families and just said, what can we do for you? How can we serve you so that your sons can be in Healing Place School of Ministry and not in the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison in 20 years? We can do that. We can make that difference. And here's the thing. As we share our surplus of finances, of time, of love, of energy, of gifts and skills that we have that we can share down there, not only can we change the city and change the world, but then I believe God pours his surplus into our lives individually and meets all of our individual needs. That's something that we can make a difference in. You know, another area? We can make a difference in foster care. You know, and this to me is one of the saddest things. When I think about this, and as I've talked to people that work in this area, because I'm not real familiar, and they tell me how it goes, that something's going on in the family, who knows why or how. And then at some point, and because I think about this, I have 4 boys, 9, 6, 4, and 2. And I almost cry every time I think about this happening to them. That at some point, people that they don't know would come into the home, take a few things, put them in a trash bag, bring them to an office they've never been to, away from their mom and dad. And their mom and dad may be, you know, harmful to them at that point, but all they know is that's their mom and dad. and they bring them to this office to wait for another person that they don't know that's going to take them home to their new home. I can't imagine my four-year-old doing that. The other day, I was home with just him, which is rare, and we're wrestling and playing, and he is just, belly laughing. And I thought, what kids in our city never do this? They never experience. Every child should just laugh. And you know what's interesting? The foster care system has addressed Healing Place Church and said, can you help us? And we've begun to address needs. We can make a difference for those 500 kids in our city that experience that. And one of the things they've asked us to do, they said, so many times there are kids that are on the verge of being pulled out of their home, but if someone would step up and just help a little bit, we could keep that family together. If someone would just come and stock the refrigerator or fix some things in the home or help pay a light bill and teach these parents how to be better parents, because a lot of them want to, they just don't know how, then we can keep those families intact. We can do that. And they've asked us to help at Healing Place Church. If we will just share some of what we have with the least, then God shares what he has with us. You know, something else I love that we're doing is our cancer ministry. And I thought about this. If you or someone you love is affected by cancer, raise your hand. Raise your hand. See you or someone. Look around. That's almost everyone in here. You know how we could reach potentially every single family in Baton Rouge with the gospel of Jesus Christ through serving them in a loving way? We could be in every hospital every single day ministering to those who are going through chemotherapy if we just had enough people that would say go. And a lot of times you hear stories like this and you think, well, I'm not Billy Graham. I can't sing like Anthony Evans. I couldn't do that. You know who started that? I wish I could say it was me. I wish I could say, well, you know, we got together as a staff and we said this is what we would do. You know what happened? Miss Maureen LaCour, seven, come on, who loves Miss Maureen? Miss Maureen, stand up. I didn't know you were here. Let's clap our hands for Miss Maureen. I know it's not nice to tell a woman's age, but I think she's 74 or 75, Miss Maureen. 70, she just said yes. 28. She just came to us and said, look, I just want to start visiting people that have going through chemotherapy. I want to start bringing them snacks because they can't get around. I want to start visiting them because a lot of times they sit there all alone. And I'm going to tell you, she calls us about once a month and said, this hospital called us and says, can we go visit on a Monday? And then we did a Monday. This hospital now wants us to come on Tuesday. And then another hospital come and wants us. We could change the city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one after another, she, hey, guess who's coming to church today? Guess who's coming today? Guess who's coming today? She's reaching the city. And honestly, Miss Maureen, tell me if I'm lying. We could be in every hospital every single day, just loving way, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, that's how it works. When you just share what you have, a lot of times we don't think we have a lot, but when we share what we have, God multiplies it, and then he multiplies our life. And I want to close with this. I had an incredible opportunity. Last week, I was sharing with a college group on the LSU campus just about what God is doing here and through Servolution and your story that so many of you are involved with. And afterwards, a girl came up to me. She's like 19, 20 years old. And she said, hey, I just want to meet you. And she told me her name. She said, I'm on staff with Chapel on the campus, and they are doing a great work reaching that campus, reaching international students that then will take the gospel back to their country. She said, I'm on staff ministering to students, preaching the gospel. And I just want you to know, about 3 or 4 years ago, my family went through hard times. We didn't have enough food to eat. And we came by your church, and you gave us some bags of groceries. And I just want you to know, it got us through that week. But more than that, it gave us hope. God kept our family together. And who would have thought that one little bag of groceries, now 4 years later, this girl has helped leading international students to Christ that will take the gospel all over the world. See, when we share with the least, not only does he do a great work in the world, but then he shares with us. So I want to give you two concrete things that you can do. Say, how can I do? How can I be involved? How can I make a difference? One is this, and it's financial. You can be a part of Kingdom Builders here at Healing Place Church. Because here's the thing, and Roxanne and I do this. We get paid every other week, and so we give every other week. You know, the tithe is not about surplus. The tithe is just the way we acknowledge God with our money. God, I believe you're real, and so 10%. All right? Kingdom Builders is over and above giving. Kingdom Builders goes to projects like this, building campuses in Africa. 1,000 people today will gather at a Healing Place Church campus in one of the poorest parts of the world, and they'll hear about Jesus Christ. It goes to help fund the Dream Center. It goes to projects like that. And even more than this, here's the one I'm excited about, because as I told you, I have 4 young boys. It's going to help us give this facility debt-free to the next generation so that they can do things that we could only dream about. I want to see my sons talking about things and doing things that at this point I don't even think are possible, because they are just free to reach the world because Roxanne and I sowed into Kingdom Builders every single chance that we got. You can do that online. It's on the tithe envelope. And the second thing is this. You got this Servolution flyer. Let me tell you the secret about Servolution. Don't tell anybody. It's just us. All right? We didn't really add a whole lot this year. We didn't sit down and have a creative meeting about all the new outreaches we could do. What you see on here, for the most part, you know, the special needs Easter extravaganza is a once a year thing. But for the most part, this happens every single week. And my prayer is that you will find time in your schedule on March 31st through April 7th to be a part of one of these outreaches, or maybe even more than that, and bring your family, and that God will connect your heart to it. And you'll say, you know what? I can change 70805 by going on Adopt-A-Block once a month, bringing my kids. I can give one day lunch every other week to cancer ministry and visit a hospital and love on patients. I can go to the homeless breakfast, or, you know, I can help share the gospel through simple ways like handing out gum downtown at lunchtime, meeting simple needs like that. That I can share what I have with the least, whether it's the economic least or the spiritual least. All right, I can share what I have, and then I'm going to trust God that he's going to share the treasures of heaven with me. And he's going to give me my dream for my kids. He's going to meet my financial need. He's going to heal my marriage. He's going to give me peace of mind. As I share what I have with those who don't have anything, I'm just going to believe that God is going to pour into my life. And so I want to ask you, be a part of Kingdom Builders. It makes a difference in the world. And this week, and I know it's busy, it's Easter, lots of stuff going on, March 31st through April 7th, you can sign up online. You can sign up at, we have stations in all the foyers outside. Make a difference in the world. Experience the John 10:10 life. So you might have life and have it more abundantly by sharing what we have with the least. I want you to do this, and I don't want to dismiss right now, but if you could stand with me. And let's just hang for one more second. I want to pray for you. And as I pray, I want you to ask God. I want to pray 2 specific things. One, I'm going to pray that we as a church will continue to be a healing place for a hurting world. And that God will enable us to continue to share what we have for the least. But secondly, I want to pray that God will speak something specific to your heart. Whether it's an amount to give or an outreach to go on, or maybe it's a family in your neighborhood that now you can start reaching out to. And, you know, it's not an organized outreach, but it's the gospel just the same. That God will reveal something specific to your heart. And here's what I love about that. It's not just the fact that, you know, I connect to an outreach. What an incredible privilege every single time the Creator and King of the universe speaks a word to us. You know, when God provides for me and does a miracle in my life, it's not usually just about the miracle. It's like, wow, I can't believe you noticed me. I can't believe, God, out of all that you have to do, you did something in my life. That is an awesome privilege that we have. So when that happens, man, we got to obey. We have to ask God for the courage to obey.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.